What a gift to be up here today. Just having Mitzi's daughter here and seeing, I don't know if you guys noticed that slide when we were doing the daily word. Did you see all that electricity that was between people? It was amazing. That's what we're going to be talking about. How we have this energy and this power with one another. So today, my talk is on the power of prayer. Couldn't be better for the needs that we're hearing, the needs that we know, and how we hold each other in that truth. So, yes, Reverend Karen introduced me. It was like, when you get a call on a Monday morning that says, "We want you in the ministerial path," I'm like, "What?" And I'm like, "Neil, what do you think?" When I asked if he would call me Reverend. I mean to tell you, sometimes it's just dropped into your lap. So this actually talk has been about things that have been so powerful this past year, probably 18 months. In the lives of my friends and our family and this our whole community. And when I was up at the village on the 1st of June, which was a requirement, I said, "Oh my gosh, I need to talk about the power of prayer." And it's this, so what I'm doing here today is not talking about how you pray, the prayer process. I'm just talking about the act of prayer. I'm talking about what Myrtle Fillmore understood in 1890. And she went to Charles and says, "We need to advocate prayer." And we know it is our fourth principle. Prayer is what we stand on, the firm foundation of unity. So Myrtle says to us in 1890, "May this power be mightily developed, because it's destined to be an unspeakable blessing to mankind." And that's what I want to share with you today. I want you to stop and think, just as Ashley so nicely said, see what intentions are in you, see what desires are in you, what resonates with you. And I was so excited because I got a template for Unity Slides. And it's just beautiful. Think of that background. And there are one thing I'm learning is that, why do I do things? What do I want to do? And why do I do them? That's the meaning. Why am I doing things? And in our prayer study, what I learned the last, it's been about 18 months, but most specifically about the last 10 months, there are two big denominators: realization and demonstration. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to try not to be too lengthy, but I just have so much I want to share with you. And the one thing I want to share is, I told Diane, this is for her, our prayer chaplain. This is for Sarah, for Vernetta, for all of our chair chaplains, and Marion. What a gift. I'd never been up to Silent Unity's tower. And it was such a blessing. It was amazing. I was just struck by the reverence and by the connection, the communication with the world. And this started, and if anybody wants any copy of these slides, you're welcome to them. But this started in 1890 when Myrtle said, "We're going to start praying." Well, what people wanted to do was they wanted to come and hold hands with Myrtle and Charles. And so they said after a while, "We really don't have time for this. We've got a lot to do." So they started what they called absent healing. And that's that energy, just what Reverend Karen said. We don't have to be directly touching one another, because we touch each other just by our thoughts, by our knowing and holding one another together in the truth. And just to share with you that over the years, the evolution of this, and I was asking Neil this question, I have the answer up there, but don't look at the slide. How many calls do you think that they get requested on a daily basis through Silent Unity? Any guess? If you don't look at the slide, Diane, what do you think?
Oh my gosh, tons.
Tons. 4,000. 4,000 calls a day to Silent Unity. That's a lot. And you know how many letters they still send out? Myrtle was writing a lot. You're close, but it's 1.8 million a year that they send out. In the 1980s, it was about 600,000. And Myrtle used to write those letters, right? She would write to people and answer them. So you can imagine a full-time prayer associate over the course of a year will talk to about 11,000 people. So I'm just gonna, there's so much to share with you today, but I want to acknowledge the work at this Unity Church of Light. I've heard Vernetta say this, I've heard others say this. We know that this is our foundation. We know that our prayer ministry is so powerful. And it resonated with me recently. When Reverend Neil had put me in the circle, I don't think I said anything. I was going to surgery, and oh my gosh, the day of surgery, I opened my email, and I must have had answers from half of you. And it just was a comfort to go into that setting. I was just amazed. And that speaks to the fact that we have, I hope I haven't left anything out. I was just trying to think, and we can add to this. We have our lovely, our amazing prayer chaplains. What a gift. They'll call monthly. We have prayer partners. I have a beautiful prayer partner, but she knows that she has to kind of remind me sometimes. I'm getting better. Prayer circle. At the end today, we will be joining in that. And oh my gosh, Reverend Karen's ministry. I see this as your ministry. You put that out there. We send you those messages. We send you those calls. And then she sends that out and we respond. And Vernetta is using our Silent Unity as a Zoom. So I can sit in from home if I can, or even in the car and join her. But it's just such a blessing to know that we are affirming that which is important for unity. It's not advancing. There it goes. But I wanted to say, today again, let's get back to the realization and demonstration of prayer. The realization, our prayers, Myrtle wanted to make it clear that the prayer is not magical. It's not something that I'm gonna think this and it's gonna happen, or we know that supplication is not the form of prayer that we understand. We know that our prayer is affirmation. Myrtle says, all we're doing is holding you in the truth of who you are. You remember that. Individually, each of us has to remember the truth of who we are, and then we have that faith. That faith is our conviction that good will come forth because we have made that conscious connection with God mind. We see the highest good. I love this, and this is how I felt when I was going into surgery. The highest good, the good in the situation, free of anxiety and fear. You let it unfold. And so, Silent Unity never made promises, and our prayer is not promises, that they're in the business of miracles. But guess what? I'm going to share with you a miracle today. Neil, I told him he may have some reservation about my talk, but to me it's a miracle. And Silent Unity, what they're doing is simply holding prayer. And did you know that just reaching out is a prayer? You don't have to use any words. How many times do we say to someone, pray for me, pray for me? Whatever it is, we just hold them. So, and I think, I don't know if I have to, okay. Whoops, one too many. I didn't want you to see that yet. So this is the realization. This is the understanding that prayer is again affirming, and this is Myrtle Fillmore, that prayer is simply holding the truth of us. So when they held their silent unities, when they held their, in the homes, and they have their our prayer chaplains here hold that truth of us. It is light and energy. That's why I loved that slide before. I'm like, oh my God, that's beautiful. Did you see all those colors and all that connection between the two people? This next one I want you to keep in mind. This is important. We're going to see this again. It is man's mind synchronizing with Christ's mind, which Charles Fillmore says in The Revealing Word, that it is the highest language of spirituality that man can achieve and master, because prayer also allows us to get into our creative self, our creative process. It is an action of devotion. We see prayer when the Fillmores did not invent prayer. You know, it's been around since the beginning of man. But I think Fillmores understood prayer. And I think they understood how prayer could work. It is also extremely important for community. It is extremely important for relational aspects. People connect, and that's that energy. We are conduits for one another. When I pray with the prayer chaplains here, I feel their energy, I feel their love, I feel their support. And I sometimes don't hear the words, I just feel the presence. Remember that when we talk about prayer, we're talking about our pathway is faith. And we claim that which we desire, that which we are intentionally looking for in our hearts, and that which we wish to claim and come forth. So, there's a Bible verse that I hold truth to. This Bible verse kind of hit me in the face September 30th. And the Bible verse is from Luke 8, 40 to 48, we know the story of the woman who was not feeling well. She had this continuous flow of blood for 12 years. She'd spent all her life working with physicians, all her living, and nothing could heal her. So there's Jesus. He comes along, and she says, I just need to touch the hem of Jesus. I need to touch his robe, and I will be healed. So there is an amazing person that I've been kind of enjoying listening to his lectures, Ed Rabel, who's Reverend Ed Rabel, who's with Unity. He's no longer with us, but he was really into the biblical studies, was my understanding. And he said this, we're looking at this metaphysically right now, that this Bible understanding is that she was connecting with that Christ consciousness. She saw that healing power from Jesus. She saw that understanding that Jesus was demonstrating to all of us what we could do. He said, I can do this, but so can you, and even greater. She touched his hem. Jesus was that channel, and he felt it. Energy came out of him, and he turned. He knew he'd been touched. The woman had came forward. And what did he say to her? Your faith has healed you. We all touch the hem of Jesus. we all have that consciousness that we can connect, as we said, with realization. We can realize it's the truth and that faith is our pathway. The healing power was in the woman because she believed. So, let's talk about the next key factor I wanted to mention, and that's demonstration. So demonstration is now that manifestation. Her healing was the manifestation. She realized what she could do. She touched the hem, and she realized that her faith was strong enough. And the outpouring of demonstration is what Charles Fillmore and Revealing Word says is a concrete manifestation. Now, it's not, maybe not something concrete that you touch, but it's a demonstration of what we are allowed to know is what we need beyond the possibility of doubt. And I love Tam's talk on doubt and all that, but I am talking about there's no doubt, and it's individualized. This may not be the same for everybody. Everybody has to get their own personal demonstration, and it may be simply a transformation in your life. It may simply be an unfolding of your purpose. It may be that you kind of get new ideas, or it may be a miracle. And Charles Fillmore talks about miracle and Revealing Word too. And he, you know, says you can't define it. You just can't put words to it. It's something beyond all of the natural workings. So, geez, I want to remind everyone that I'm going to give you an example of what I truly believe is a miracle in the life of my family. And it's because of all of you and silent unity. It's because of faith. It's because of connection. I want you all just to think, when have I seen a demonstration? When have I realized that I could claim this? Because Jesus' teachings are applicable for our daily life. We live this. We move through this. This is our being. We can make the great demonstration. So, bear with me. All of you know, some of you know, but I'm very involved with Fillmore Wings, very involved. I have been for almost 2 years now. I just love the metaphysical understanding of Charles Fillmore's words. And so Neil goes to every Tuesday, 10:30, even when I'm working, I do it. I sneak off. But anyway, and so my dear friends are here today, Carolyn, Fern, Doug. We were all together sometime in September, I don't even know when we got the first phone call that my grandson Levi, there was potentially a donor for his aortic valve. And we were all together, we were having dinner. We were all there together, do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Well, it was a dry run. And so my Fillmore, our Fillmore group is a composite of individuals from around the world. I mean, Canada, over in Holland. There's about 15 of us. And when you connect with people on a weekly basis, you develop somehow this unimaginable relationship via Zoom. Well, they knew about this dry run, and they've held Levi in prayers for the last, since March of 25. And we were having a Fillmore Wayne session on September 30th. Guess what the topic was? The Great Demonstration. This is Fillmore Wayne's lesson, study lesson 6, which, by the way, I'm going to be doing this fall, any of you are interested. And as we're doing this, I can't even describe to you what went on. Everything I talked to you about realization, everything I talked to you about how you can bring things forth, we were saying about Jesus's teachings and his understanding and his so close connection, his understanding of his divinity. And during this, Leo, who's in Holland, stops and says, we are going to demonstrate for Levi. We're going to stop right now and let's pray for Levi. I mean, I was blown away. My heart just stopped. I mean, just to have that brought into the light, into the energy and the truth, and to have all these individuals say, we are demonstrating heart for Levi. Guess what happened on October 3rd? Well, there was this beautiful family, and this is from a prayer from Reverend Sharon's friend. A beautiful family's child returned to God, and the gift they gave from their deepest sorrow transmitted blessing upon blessing. Two families were notified of the gift of a heart donor. Reverend Karen immediately sent out mass mailing to Unity Church of Light. I was calling Silent Unity, and a community of oneness was ignited. I have your prayers. I printed them off. One day I'll read them to Levi. It was just, I knew at that moment, Levi was at our house, and we got the call from Whitney. And little Levi's there going, is this about my surgery? I knew that the hem of Jesus had been touched by Leo. I knew that faith brought us to this point. I reached out to a colleague of mine. Actually, she was one of my first teachers when I was doing LUT. And I said, oh my gosh, this is Myrtle. And she says, Levi will remain in my prayers, and his truth of being a perfect child of God, most wonderfully made, is the image I will hold. And that was so comforting. I none of us knew the outcome. He was admitted on October 3rd. We didn't know the outcome. We were just going to hold that image of him beyond all circumstances, appearances, be present in spirit, in faith, and the demonstration is love. So she's a Reverend Unity minister up in Kansas City. I don't know if anybody knows her. She was pretty amazing. And I had her earlier and I just reached out to her and said, guess what? We got a call again. And that's what she sent me. And that's what we do when we stand in the truth. So the next thing was October 4th, Levi's new heart valve arrived. And we were together. The children wouldn't allow us at the hospital because we kind of made them crazy in March. So we were all doing this. I know, it was really, they needed to be on their own. But they sent us the picture. Now go back to that concept and realization about the intensity of the connection, the intensity of God mind with ideas. I'm going to tell you one more thing, and this is going to be the end of it. I don't know, I have to practice this.
You're doing good.
Okay. Man's mind, revealing word again. That synchronizing with Christ's mind is the language of spirituality that makes man a master of creative ideas. 1 week after Levi's transplant surgery. An article comes out from Children's Hospital. And again, this is all things that have been building in me. And I'm sharing with you. I'm letting you know what's been in my heart for the last year. There's a team of doctors down at Children's, and this has been their mission, to find a way to help children with heart disease. And I'll find a way for them to not waste organs that may be useful. And one heart was able to be given to two children. They had an article. Levi wasn't their first, he was their second, their first child. They said that doing what they call the domino heart transplant requires a remarkable team of over 20 specialists and two operating rooms. Now here, this to me is divine order. Everyone coming together to perform an innovative procedure. Everything must line up perfectly, work in perfect coordination. How often does that happen? How often? That is divine order. So this experience, I'm sharing with you my own personal beliefs about what happened, and I think it's a miracle. And I think Leo was the conduit, the channel that touched the hem of Jesus. And we spread that energy out to everyone here. So before we go into the Our Father, I would like all of us to affirm, we are a passionate, grace-filled community, always holding the truth of one another for the highest good and perfect outcome. So please say with me, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. So now I'd like to ask you to join me in meditation. And this meditation I want to share with you was written, I've modified, paraphrasing, Reverend Ernest Wilson, written in 1930. How true these things are today. And we hold Reverend Sharon's family in our prayers. So just rest comfortably where you are, relaxing into your space, and turning inward as we dismiss any outside distractions, questions of your mind are stilled. You don't need words. You're simply reaching into the great loving heart of God. You know you are one with that heart. A sense of peace just surpasses you. You don't analyze it. You just take in that feeling and feel it deeply. You are drinking in the waters of communion with Spirit. Resting, confident that you can manage anything that comes your way. Consciousness with the truth that there is no problem in Spirit and all problems are solved. Spirit, God is the master. And you are immersed in that great heart of love, coursing through your being with growing realization. That you can demonstrate and claim that which you desire. The nature of God unfolds. And you are one with that love that is filling your heart. It is a cup that overflows. You know that all who hear your voice, thine shall have heard. All who yearn for the love that you have found is yours to express. And this sharing brings happiness. So we say the prayer, thank you. Thank you for our spiritual gifts, and thank you for the grace that flows in and through each of us. And so it is, and we claim it. Amen.